Hello, good evening. Everybody had a good day sitting there in front of the air conditioner this afternoon. I hope most of you were able to do that. That's what I did. And we're going to begin in the book of John. In John chapter 1, you know, the book of John begins at the same point in history as the book of Genesis, in the beginning. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Just those opening few verses are just loaded with so much information about who God is, who Christ is, and His relationship to the Father. And so John begins at the same place that Genesis begins. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The ultimate origin of all things that exist, that is the beginning. You know, the Bible, it's interesting, never sets out to prove the existence of God. You know, the Bible takes for granted that man has no excuse for disbelieving in God. In Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, Paul makes this exceedingly clear. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. They turned away from the knowledge of God, but God has revealed Himself to man." And so God doesn't go about trying to establish that He exists. You know, there's plenty of evidence in the Bible that points to that, but it takes for granted belief in Him. And think about it, if a man does not believe in God, then what use is the Bible to him? It's just a book of mythology or a collection of old stories without the existence of God. But, you know, the Bible, along with nature itself, does provide evidence for the existence of God if one knows where to look and has an honest and open heart. And so John opens up his gospel account assuming that his reader already believes in the existence of God. But from there he goes on to give a lot of information about the Godhead, especially the person he calls the Word. You know, the word translated the Word comes from a Greek word, logos, or logos. The logos. It is the Word, or the Logos, in whom we must have an understanding and who He is and what He has done for us. This is the essential person of our salvation. He's the one that brought it in to us. The Logos, the Word. What does the word Logos mean? It simply means, in its general sense, a word uttered by a living voice. Embodies a conception or an idea. When you think about words, that's what they embody. You know, I say the word fruit, and you picture in your mind, you know, an apple or a banana or whatever it is that comes to your mind. It is a thing that represents something else, and so that's in the general sense. Logos also, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, denotes the expression of thought, not the mere name of an object, and embodying a concept or an idea, a saying or a statement. And so you think about the Word here, the Word of God, the Word was God. And we'll get into more of the meaning of that in a moment. And so Christ is the Word of God, the mind of God, so to speak, made manifest to man in that person. And so in verses 1 and 2, we see the Logos, or the Logos, in the beginning. In the beginning. So let's just take a minute there. Again, there was a beginning. You know, there was a point in existence when the universe did not exist. When it's hard to even think of what that was. God existed, and nothing but God existed. At this point, the universe did not exist. You know, even modern science cannot deny that the universe is eternal. They can look at things in the world that are beyond my understanding as far as, you know, astronomy and physics and all that. And there's evidence in the minds of modern scientists that the universe as we know it has not always been here. That it has not always existed. That it has a beginning point. You know, something had to have existed, though, before the universe, because nothing can come from nothing. Something existed. What was that something? And, you know, the Bible makes it clear that something was God. And He's not a thing, by the way, but again. But one of the best arguments for the existence of God is this, that every observed effect has an underlying cause. The effect we see is that the universe is here, and we know it is not eternal, and so it has to have an underlying cause. It had to come from somewhere. And so there must have been a sufficient cause also to explain the creation, the beginning of the universe. Now, atheists have developed what they call the Big Bang Theory. But this still does not explain where that, you know, they say, oh, there's a microscopic speck of super dense matter that probably weighed 25 pounds that exploded and created billions and trillions of miles of universe in every conceivable direction. It's pretty silly if you think about it. So they say this Big Bang was the underlying cause. But where did that little speck come from? And what made it go bang? They can't explain that. You know, the effect of the Big Bang must have an underlying cause. What made it go bang? This is formally known as the cosmological argument for the existence of God. Therefore, there must have been a sufficient cause to explain the creation of the world in the universe. And so, in the beginning, there was a beginning. The universe did not exist. Now it exists. That is the moment of creation. In the beginning was. These are four. In Greek, there's only three words here. In beginning was. These four words, though, impart a tremendous, tremendous truth. You know, there are those that teach that Jesus is only a created being, that He was the first thing that God created. But these four words, or these three words, clearly teach something different. And so notice, we'll look at each word. The word in, it's a primary preposition denoting fixed position in time, place, or state. And so in the beginning, this is the origin, that by which anything begins, the origin, the active cause. And so in the beginning, we're talking about that very infinitesimal moment of creation. In beginning, and here's the key word, was. In beginning was. This word was is the imperfect tense for the state of being. The imperfect tense expresses a timeless existence. And so in beginning was. You know, when Jesus said in John 8, verse 58, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." You know, the same root word was is found in John 1, 1. Here it is, present tense, active voice. Before Abraham came into being, He says, "I am." In John 1, 1, the word is in the imperfect tense, which is used to describe an ongoing action in the past. And so Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I was then, I am now. I still exist. I existed before Him. So in the beginning was, when the beginning started, this phrase implies that something was already in existence. It was the Word and it was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so in the beginning, the Word The Word was not created. The Word is co-eternal with the Father. It says, and the Word was God. That's the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you that there should be the letter A in front of the word God. A God. The Word was a God. That's what they teach. That's what they believe. Because we won't get into that. That's a whole other sermon there. But in the Greek language, there is no indefinite article, like the letter, the word A or the word and does not exist in Greek. And so at times in this passage, it says the God, and the Word was the God. That says, or in the beginning was the God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was the God. There's something like that. Anyway, they changed that all up. That's off topic. Don't put that in the notes. All righty. The Word was God. The Word is Christ. Notice verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the Word was God. The Word was Christ. John clearly states that the Logos, the Word, is God. In the book of John, he begins this statement of the fact of the deity of the Logos. Jesus makes it clear in his various statements, such as John 10, verse 30, where he said, I and my Father are one. And so let's look at this a minute here. God's Word, John 17, 17, is truth. It tells us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So God's Word is truth. John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So God's Word is truth. Jesus is truth. Therefore, Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Christ, Jesus, is the Word. The Word is truth. The Logos is God. John 1, verse 1, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Logos, as we already seen in verse 14. Therefore, Jesus is God. He goes on to say, the same was in the beginning with God. Reemphasizes His eternal nature. Only deity is eternal. Genesis 1:1, in beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Word, the Logos, or Jesus, is eternal. And so, therefore, Jesus is God. And so in the beginning, think about it this way. In the beginning, the Word existed in timeless existence from eternity. The Word existed in timeless existence with God. The Word from timeless existence is God. In Philippians 2 and verse 6, Paul tells us, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And we'll look at that passage in a few minutes. So to kind of summarize what we've looked at here in the first couple of verses, we'll kind of put it this way. Here's an expanse. Eternity before the universe was created, that timeless existence. All right, so we're just going to picture it this way. All right, here you have the creation. Time itself is something that God created for man. Time means nothing to God. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. It has no effect on God. God is omnipresent. That means He is in every time at exactly the same time. And so, concepts that go over my head. But here we kind of put this in just this little framework. You have the moment of creation there. You have time kind of flowing this way. And then at some point, the Lord's going to come again with a shout of the archangel, and time is going to end. And so we have, when that happens, you have eternity after the destruction of the universe, the end of the universe. And so let's analyze this verse here. In the beginning, here notice that star represents the beginning, the very moment of creation. And here's that word was. that timeless existence going back in the beginning already was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Already before the creation of the universe, Christ, God, the Word existed. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. As we go on to verses 3 through 5, we see the Logos in creation. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so all things, everything that was, that is a thing, everything that is a thing, everything that is made of matter, any substance, that which is created, any particular article or commodity, that's the American Webster's Dictionary of American English, 1828 edition. And so anything that is created, anything that is made, anything that exists, anything that is an object, anything that's made of matter, carbon-based or whatever, this is all-inclusive. Everything that is a thing, all physical matter, everything spiritual that is not deity, were made by Him. That would include angels, by the way. They were made by God. They were made by the Word, by the Logos. All things were made by Him. You know, the word made is past tense. He brought them into being. They did not exist prior to this singular event. You know, God, deity existed before creation, but then deity is not a thing. Things have substance, but God is a spirit. As we're told in John 4:23, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so they were made by Him, they were brought into being by the Logos, and upheld by Him to this day. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrews writer said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. And then Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. You know, He became flesh and dwelt among us, and John says, we beheld His glory. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And so, by the Word of God, all things were made. God spoke creation into existence. You know, Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and there became dry land. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together in one place. There became oceans, or not the firmament, the separation of the waters from the sky and the water. All right. Verse 9, or verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and it was so. Verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and it happened. Verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. And then in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. All those things happened. They were brought about by the Word of God, through the agency of the Logos. And so all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, in Genesis 1:1, it is said that God created all things. In this verse, Christ is said to have created all things. The same inerring Spirit spoke in Moses as in the evangelists. Therefore, Christ and the Father are one. That's from Clark's commentary. You know, God created everything that was created in the beginning. The Word timelessly existed before the beginning. If you can use that word before. You think about eternity. Anyway, those words begin to lose their meaning. Therefore, the Word, though, is not created. Anything not created must be eternal. Only God is eternal. Therefore, the Logos, Christ, the Word, is God. In Him was life. You know, the word life in its widest signification, the life of the body, the life of the soul, the life of the spirit. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. You know, Paul spoke about the invisible God that they ignorantly worshipped, those Athenians. He says, it goes on to talk about Him, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own prophets also said, for we are His offspring. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light did not spring directly from the Word, but it was an emanation of the life that man received from the Word. The light is not intellectual knowledge simply, nor is it simply holiness, but the light of good through the medium of life. There was a steady shining of the light in man's conscience and intellect and heart at his creation. And so in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so Roy H. Lanier, in his book, The Timeless Trinity for the Ceaseless Generations, he has this to say about the unity of God. You know, although the word Trinity is not found anywhere in the Bible, the word accurately depicts the Bible truth of the Godhead. When we speak of the unity of God, we have in mind two things. One, that there is but one infinite, eternal, self-existent being, one essence, and that this one essence is undivided and indivisible. As Moses said, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. You know, from these scriptures, or from the scriptures, there can be no doubt there is one God and only one. Yet we have just as positive a teaching to the effect that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Notice 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. But unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. That kind of goes along with Colossians chapter 1 there. But the Father, one God, the Father. Notice Romans chapter 9, verse 5. It says, For in Him, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, or it says Colossians there. Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in Him, Jesus, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so again, we see that Jesus, the Son, is God. Then Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, remember, they lied. They lied about what they did with a certain money. Peter said to Ananias, Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So you lied to the Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land, while it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He said, you lied to the Holy Ghost, you lied to God. In lying to the Holy Ghost, you're lying to God. God and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is God as well as the Word. And so the eternal Godhead consisting of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now as we move forward here, time is starting to get away from me a little bit. We look at the Logos and the lights and the new birth. We'll skip ahead to verse 9. Verses 6 through 8 introduces the work of John the Baptist. As we get to verse 9, it says, That was the true light, speaking about the Word in the context, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own received Him not. We'll stop right there for a moment. He was the light. He was the true light. The word translated light is a Greek word phos, where we get the like photon. The light to shine, to make manifest by rays. And I like this, luminousness. That's what light is. He is the light, the true light that shines in the darkness, John 1 verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, darkness could not overcome it. John bore witness of that light, verses 6 through 8, that light that gives light to every man that cometh into the world. You know, Jesus said that I am the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12. Hold on here a second. Jumps ahead on the screen there. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Now, many, verses 10 and 11, did not receive that light. Verse 12 says, but some did. Verse 12, it says, many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Many didn't receive the light, but some did. His own didn't receive the light. He was in the world. His own did not receive him. Talking about the Jews, by and large, did not receive him, but some did. You know, the word right, they were made given the right to become the sons of God. The word right signifies both authority and ability. Receiving Christ gives us the authority and the ability to become the sons of God. You know, what a wonderful manifestation of God's love. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And so some received the light. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Notice, born of God, not of blood, not by virtue of physical descent, not of flesh, not by the virtue of the lust of the flesh, not by the will of the man, not by virtue of power in a man's will alone, but of God. Rebirth is only possible by the Spirit of God. John chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 goes along with this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so, born of God. And finally, we see the Logos with us. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, we see this in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, says there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, there's that timeless existence before the world was, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But made himself of no reputation. You know, he emptied himself of the glory that he had had with the Father. John 17, verses 4 and 5, at his last meal with his disciples, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth, in his prayer to God. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with thy glory, which I had with thee before the world was. He gave that up. He made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was just like us in many ways. He felt the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 to verse 23, the angel tells Joseph about Mary, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus," which literally means Jehovah is salvation, "for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became Emmanuel. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, Jesus came to make it possible for man to be reconciled to God and to dwell with Him forever. In John chapter 14, as He was about to put off that flesh and go back to the Father, to assume that glory that He once had with the Father before the creation of the universe, He said, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." The only way to go and be with the Father, to be reconciled with God in heaven for eternity, is to come through His Son, Jesus Christ, to come through the Word, through the Logos. Believe the Word of God. Believe in the Word of God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess your belief, repent of your sins, be baptized to wash away your sins, that you may have that opportunity to be a partaker of eternal life. This evening, if you've not done those things, we urge you to become a child of God. Today, if you've done those things but haven't been faithful to that holy calling, we urge you to repent. We can help you today. Respond to the invitation. Let us know as we stand, as we sing.